Good morning. I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care. I almost said virtual vitality, and it feels like that today. I welcome you to worship with the First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and pray that by our worship, we may all know the blessing of the new beginnings that our loving God has in store for us. I extend a warm welcome to all of you who are joining us virtually through our live streamed worship. We can all rest in the blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we remain connected as the one body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. I want to start by thanking our worship leaders. We are coming to you live from our own homes today because of the storm. And so this with extra care and love, we come to bring you today's worship. We thank Robin and Jeff Clausen and Gail Martin, Bill Ramage, Lane McDonough, Beth Canterbury, Tom Foster, and especially Hank Sereder and Randy Brewer, who make this production possible, and the staff of Natick Pegasus, without whom we would not be able to do this live stream worship. And we're happy to report that the Reverend Andy Burr begins as our interim pastor this coming week. And we look forward to getting to know him in the coming days. You can meet Andy virtually next Sunday at his first post-worship fellowship and annual meeting. So let's show Andy a big First Church welcome next Sunday. I want to remind you that we will be lighting our Christ candle shortly after these announcements. And so if you would like to get a candle prepared at home, you can light your candle with us. And we will accept prayer requests up through the reflection today that can be added into our morning prayer later on. So if you would like to share a request or a celebration with us, do so by sending an email to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And we would welcome everyone to join us after this worship at our post-worship fellowship on Zoom. And you can find that link in the weekly link emailing or on our church website. And it's also on your screen here. So you can join us via video or by phone. And we would welcome all of you to join us to check in. Hopefully you're all cleared out and you don't have to do any more snow clearing, so you can join in the fun. And we have finally reached halftime of our Super Bowl 2022, and we hope that you are all getting in the game. You're all on a team. Our dividing line is Route 135. The Penguins live south of Route 135. The Polar Bears live north of Route 135. And all of the donations go to the Natick Service Council. So no matter which team you're on, Natick wins. But let's see how our teams are doing. So at halftime, here we go. Well, the Penguins have forged ahead by a significant margin. And so they have donated $1,660 worth of food to the Natick Service Council. And the Polar Bears aren't that far behind with $687. Now we know that we've got two more quarters to go. There's plenty of time to get in the game. And so if you would like to make your donation, you can do that at yougivegoods.com. And that's also on our website and in the weekly emails that go out as well. So next Sunday, February 6th at noon, we will be gathering for our annual meeting. It's going to be a virtual annual meeting this year again, and so we invite you to join us by Zoom. We're required to have 50 members for a quorum to vote on church business, including the acceptance of the 2022 budget. So please join us next week after our worship service. And that Zoom link will be the same as what we use for our post-worship fellowship every week. So it should be easy for you to find, and we hope that you can join us for that important time. Annual reports will be available at the church or on the church website. So if you don't have access to get the virtual copy, then please contact our church administrator, Peg. She'd be happy to figure out a way to get one delivered to you. So we will get you the information that you need to be prepared for that annual meeting. We hope that you will join us. And with the coming of the Reverend Andy Burr, we are looking for a few more people to join the transition team. The FCC NAIDIC transition team is a really important aspect of our church's pastoral search process. Its purpose is to help the church emerge from this time between settled pastors with a renewed vision of our purpose and mission as a church. So this is a really important group, and we're looking for more people to join that. We're looking for nominations to that group, and so we'd really like you to take a few minutes to think about which church members you would like to nominate for the transition team. We're looking for candidates with good organization, listening, and communication skills, and who are also enthusiastic about the prospect of a new beginning for our congregation's next chapter. So who are those wise ones of the congregation who you would turn to if you were facing a crisis? Those are the people that we would like to see nominated to this team. So think about those names. We'll be asking you to send them to the church office. And with that, let us begin our worship together by lighting the Christ candle. Now let us light our candles together, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth.
Everyone, please join us in the responsive call to celebration. Like empty jars, we have come to be filled.
Like candles, we have come to be set ablaze.
Like aged wine, we have come to be poured out.
Like weary travelers, we have come to find rest.
Like friends divided, we have come to be reconciled.
Like children, we have come to be surprised.
Hear the word of God and make your reply. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me, O my people.
And my heart responds, God, I am coming.
Diverse in culture, nation, race, we come together by your grace. God, let us be a meeting ground where hope and healing love are found. God, let us be a bridge of care, connecting people everywhere. Help us confront all fear and hate and lust for power that separates. When chasms widen, storms arise, O Holy Spirit, make us wise. Let our resolve like steel be strong to stand with those who suffer wrong. God, let us be a table spread with gifts of love and broken bread, where all find welcome, grace attends, and enemies arise as friends.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, O God, we are named and claimed by your love and called to be your servants in the service of others. Today we rejoice in the pilgrimage of faith that has brought us from so many different places to be together as your people here and now. We give thanks for those who came before us, for those who have been our companions on the journey, and for all those communities along the way where we have found a spiritual home. By your power, may we continue to grow in knowledge and love of you and to seek the same mind in everything we do, which was in Christ Jesus, to whom be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out your hands over the snow drifts and the snow embanked at the ends of our driveways, in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts or offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We are a truly blessed congregation and thankful for the generosity and stewardship of our members and friends. We hope you'll continue to support our church's mission and ministry. You can mail a check to the church or make an online gift through our church website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy." May our gifts today be given in gratitude from a merciful heart. Let us pray. Holy One, we give thanks that you enable us to be givers, not just receivers. Help us to manage the wealth you have entrusted to us, that we may know the joy of sharing the abundance you provide. May what we offer here help others who find themselves at challenging crossroads of all kinds. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we decided to come together in a lay-led service today, I thought, what a good idea. And then I was terrified. And then I remembered what we have been through in the last 2 years, and I realized we got this. We are a congregation that has faced adversity with resilience. We have a group of church leaders who remained committed and engaged throughout the pandemic, coming together over and over to discuss and to make decisions in a seemingly ever-changing landscape of news and shifting guidance. It was enough to give us all a severe case of whiplash, but we persevered. Our coordinating council and finance team never lost their steady vision of our church's ministry and mission and steered the ship through what could have been very troubled waters. We surprised everyone by going ahead with a capital campaign in the midst of a global pandemic. And not only did well, but we exceeded anyone's wildest imaginings. We grieved the closing of our beloved church preschool after a ministry of 50 years, but transitioned to a new, wonderful relationship with the Natick Public School System and their Achieve program. We learned to pivot when we went to virtual worship and were able to live stream to a wider population of people more than we ever could imagine. And it has broadened our way of thinking about worship and ministry, and opened our eyes to accessibility in new and exciting ways. Returning to in-person gatherings was such a joy this fall. Perhaps one of the hardest decisions came when we decided we needed to pivot once again to go back to virtual worship for the Christmas season. But we appreciate the grace of the congregation has shown in these challenging times. I have seen strength in the people of this church, and I am heartened by the resiliency, faithfulness, and vitality that speaks to the presence of the Holy Spirit that has been so evident throughout the pandemic. I'm both grateful and proud to be a part of the First Congregational Church of Natick. When I looked at the lectionary for today, I took time to wonder about this election and what it might have to tell us about our church at this moment in time. We've spent the last few weeks with different voices in the pulpit, hearing and thinking about Christ's baptism and then his trip back to the synagogue in Nazareth. We've heard that Jesus read the words of prophet Isaiah to the Israelites, exhorting them to bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, release the captives, and to proclaim the year of the Lord and the Lord's favor. We heard of Jesus speaking in the synagogue and his community rising up against him in anger. Today's lectionary is that story that we heard in these previous weeks. And another passage, which you just heard Bill read, that first letter of Paul to the people of Corinth. This passage that is so familiar from all the times we have heard it read at weddings. The love passage. You know the one. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful or arrogant or rude. Paul tells us what love is and what love is not. Okay, how are we meant to understand these two passages together, side by side? Jesus going back to his synagogue, reading from Isaiah, in that passage reminding the Israelites that they are to remember the year of the Lord's favor, referring to Jubilee, and Paul's discourse on love. Side by side. Well, let's start with Jubilee. It's a complicated idea that at first glance might seem to be about the transfer of money and property to bring balance back to a social system every 50 years. But Jubilee is much more than that. The theologian Walter Brueggemann reminds us that at the very heart of Jubilee is the understanding that we are simply caretakers of God's creation, that it all belongs to God, and we are simply stewards of this world. Perhaps Jubilee is a call to examine where materialism and greed have wormed their way into our day-to-day lives and affect our relationships with one another and, frankly, with God. What if Jubilee asks us to explore a new way of thinking about money and possessions? What if it encourages a different way of thinking about who is our neighbor? Jesus's hometown community heard the ancient promises of the restoration of the oppressed and realized that it was a different plan from the one that they had hoped for. Not simply a redistribution of wealth from their wealthier neighbors to them, not just a rising up against and freedom from the Roman Empire, but Jesus was including people from outside their community with compassion and care, including all God's children, no matter who they are. The people of Nazareth responded to this by trying to throw Jesus off a cliff, if you remember from last week. We do tend to get protective of our possessions. Walter Brueggemann reminds us that God's good news is not going to be good for everybody, at least not those who want to hold on to excessive wealth and power and place. This is a great illustration of human nature. We persist in drawing lines and circles that create a world of insiders and outsiders, us and them. Jesus added a new dimension to the idea of Jubilee. Jesus tells us to remove the lines. We are all one people, all one body, and our first motivation should always be love. A radical, extravagant love that doesn't separate one group from another. God calls us on a path toward an expansive, generous, justice-seeking vision of the world, a vision that shapes a ministry to and with all of God's children. So reading the passage in Corinthians this week, I was reminded of my favorite Broadway musical, Rent, and the song Seasons of Love. Eric Larson wrote an amazing story about shared loss and heartache and the strength gained by affirming human dignity that really echoes and resonates anew after 2 years of living with the pandemic and through the pandemic. The song Seasons of Love includes the refrain, 525,600 minutes, 525,000 moments so dear, 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year, how about in love? The musical's call to measure time through the lens of love echoes the words of Jesus, who made it plain that the greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus is saying the law and everything that the prophet said mean nothing without love. Nothing without love. In a similar fashion, the Apostle Paul offers his treatise on the centrality of love while writing to a deeply divided church in Corinth, saying, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." While this idea may sound overly sentimental in the face of great peril and challenge, love has the power to cast out fear and undergirds the very pursuit of justice and peace. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. There is much to be done. There is much justice to be won. And it is clearly better and more attainable if it is done through love. Throughout Jesus's life and ministry, he lifted up the idea that love is central. First, we must love God with our whole selves, and then we must love one another. Relationships are the meaning of life. Relationships are why we are here. And Paul tells us how to love one another. I think we sometimes lose sight of the broad definition that Paul gives us because the context in which we hear the words, we so often hear them during a wedding that when we're thinking about romantic love, you know, that love between two people who are joining their lives together as one. And that is a beautiful kind of love for sure, but that is not the kind of love that Paul is talking about. He is talking about a radical shift that goes against human nature, that dissolves the lines that we draw between us and each other and removes selfish thinking. This kind of love puts God first and opens our hearts to an understanding that all of God's children are our neighbors. And in fact, they are our family. Brian McLaren calls that kind of love fellowship. And this is what he says about that. Fellowship is a kind of belonging that isn't based on status, achievement, or gender, but instead is based on a deep belief that everyone matters, everyone is welcome, everyone is loved. No conditions, no exceptions. Now that makes the idea of Jubilee a little different, don't you think? Jesus was telling his hometown community, the year of the Lord's favor is here. The year of the Lord's favor is now, and it is for everyone. Now, what would it look like if Jesus' first sermon and the reading from Isaiah was to be fulfilled today in our midst? What does the year of our Lord's favor look like now, today? What is the justice work that needs to be done? Passing voting rights legislation would demonstrate our love for our democracy and all the citizens of our country. Accomplishing Build Back Better agenda would reflect our love for protecting the most vulnerable and help children, families, and communities to thrive. Living out a deeper commitment to anti-racism would show our love for the image of God in everyone, in each person. Co-creating a carbon-free future would signal our love for creation and safeguard the dreams of future generations. Passing immigration reform legislation would demonstrate our love of neighbor that transcends borders. And combating an alarming increase of COVID-19 infections through vaccinations and wearing masks and compassionate supports reflects our love for our neighbor and for the common good. Now that's big picture justice. But what about us? What about First Church Natick? How will we bring the power of our love to our community? We're stepping into a new phase in our transition time. We look forward to the beginning of Reverend Andy Burr's ministry with us next week and moving forward into the following months. This will be a time of asking questions and seeking answers, searching our hearts. These are the questions I bring to you today. Oops, I didn't want to do that. hold on, I'm going to go back. There we go. How large is our view of God's nature? How wide is our understanding of God's embrace? How deep is our sense of the movement of God in our world today? Will we dare to hope, to take risks, to show courage? I think we will. I have seen how we have lived our vision through a pandemic, and I know that we aren't done. There is much to be done. There is much justice to be won. How do we measure a year? My greatest prayer for myself and for you in 2022 is that we measure our lives in love. May our loving God make it so. Amen.
Please join us in voicing your recommitment to our vision and mission. As one people gathered in community and surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses of those who have gone before us in faith,
let us commit ourselves again to one another.
This is our vision:
to be a thriving Metro West community of faith witnessing to God's extravagant love.
This is our mission:
to express the love and welcome of Christ in word and action in our communities and in the wider world.
We commit to providing a warm, inviting, functioning building that holds space, literally and figuratively, for each person so that we can have a positive impact on the vital social and spiritual concerns of the Metro West area.
We commit to creating opportunities where people of all ages and stages can experience spiritual vitality and discover that the power behind us is always greater than the challenges ahead.
And we commit to building connections, supporting conversations, and taking action as we stand up for one another.
And as we join together with all those who strive to bend the moral arc of the universe towards justice.
We commit ourselves to worship and work and witness together in the fellowship of this church,
seeking the kingdom that is coming and that now is.
Thank you, Robin and Jeff, for leading us in that recommitment to our mission and ministry. I think that's just a big part of the work that we do together as the First Church Natick. So we've come to our the moment of our gathering our community in prayer. And I do have a number of emails that have come in during the worship today, so I want to share those with you. Let me start with, I'm just getting to the folder again. One of them moved. A prayer celebration from Gail Martin. This Tuesday, February 1st, would be the 100th birthday of Gail Martin's father, Wally Dixon, and his family remembers him, his honesty and humor every day. Miriam Jennings sends a prayer request for Keith's brother, Brad Jennings, who was admitted to the hospital with kidney failure about 2 weeks ago and continues to battle complications. We ask for healing so he can return home soon. And prayers from Doug Hanna, a prayer of gratitude for the kind unknown soul who snowblowed the plow pile at the end of our driveway this morning. Yes, may we all have that same kind of loving compassion from our neighbors. And also a prayer request from Tina Tufano. Nina Nastri, who's on the prayer list, has passed away from COVID. Please pray for her family and all who have lost loved ones from this horrible illness. And also continued prayers for Ronnie Tufano, who is dealing with serious health issues and is having heart surgery this week. And also a prayer from Elaine Gattani, a celebration for the healing and recovery for both Steve and Elaine from Omicron. It was a long haul, but they're feeling much, much better. And also gratitude for the life and teaching of the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who passed away at age 95 last week. He exemplified much of what Jesus teaches. And we have many, many other prayers, that prayer requests on our prayer list that you can find in the bulletin. We ask you to lift those people up in your prayers during this week. And with that, let us join our hearts and let us pray. Divine companion, from beginning to end, we rest in your embrace. All along our days, you journey with us. Sometimes you are a loud shout to help us to heed your call. And sometimes you are a quiet whisper to help us to listen. You help shape our questions and are patient with our answers. Through the ages, you have spoken your word to us through scripture and witness and the prophets you have sent. The prophets nudged our complacency and called us persistently to a new day for all God's family. Nudge us now to follow the prophets you send and strengthen us to do the simple but extraordinary tasks of loving our neighbor and praying for our enemies. At all times, forever speaking and forgiving and listening, God, help us not only to hear, but to truly listen for your living word. No matter the instrument, help us to recognize your voice and you as the source behind the message. Give us ears to hear, that we might know we are called, that we might know by whom, and that we might strive to make known your word of love, forgiveness, and freedom to all. God, you know what's on our hearts. You know us best. We open our hearts to you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The 33rd General Synod of the United Church of Christ in 2021 adopted a resolution to recognize the United Nations International Decade for People of African Descent, 2015 to 2024. Today, we share a poem by Daniel Webster Davis. The son of slaves, Daniel Webster Davis was born in Virginia's Caroline County. He was a teacher, minister, historian, and poet. Davis moved to Richmond after the Civil War and began teaching in 1880. Three schools in Virginia have been named for him, commemorating his influential three-decade-long teaching career that spanned Virginia, West Virginia, and the Carolinas.
I Can Trust by Daniel Webster Davis. I cannot see why trials come and sorrows fall thick and fast. I cannot fathom his designs, nor why my pleasures cannot last, nor why my hopes so soon are dust, but I can trust. When darkest clouds my sky overhang, and sadness seems to fill the land, I calmly trust his promise sweet, and cling to his never failing hand. And in life's darkest hour, I'll just look up and trust. I know my life with him is safe, and all things still must work for good to those who love and serve our God and lean on him as children should. Though hopes decay and turn to dust, I still will trust.
We cannot own the sunlit sky, the moon, the wildflowers growing, for we are part of all that is within life's river flowing. With open hands receive and share the gifts of God's creation, that all may have abundant life in every earthly nation. When bodies shiver in the night and weary wait for morning, when children have no bread but tears and war horns sound their warning, In oneness with a neighbor, God calls humanity to join as partners in creating a future free from want or fear, life's goodness celebrating. That new world happens from afar, invites our shared endeavor, that all may have abundant life and peace endure forever.
People of God, arise now from worship, and as you do, remain in God's grace. Abide in Christ's love, dwell in the Spirit's presence. And may the blessings of God being poured out for us all keep us in joy and prompt us to deeds of justice and to lives of peace. Amen. Thank you.